contaminating property and releasing in PCBs in the environment, that there will be consequences.
The Environmental Protection Agency fines a Haynes company after a long cleanup project. And the first day of school is nearing, but Glacier Bears and Panthers are already working hard. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That and more up next. Skagway anglers can work their way upstream with sport fishing for kings opening in part of Poland Creek in Poland Pond. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced Tuesday that starting early on Wednesday, sport fishermen can go for Chinooks upstream of the fish and game markers at Poland Pond. Downstream of the markers, kings entering Poland are captured at the weir, and fish needed for hatchery broodstock are held in pens. The excess are released upstream and are available for harvest. The bag and possession limit for all anglers, including Alaska residents and out-of-staters, is 4 kings of any size, and the non-resident annual limit for kings does not apply. The regulation remains until September 14th. The broodstock collection at Poland has been the target of tampering in the past, and the problem resulted in the release of adult king salmon before enough eggs were collected. Fish and Game has said that jeopardizes the success of the program and that they'll close the entire drainage to king fishing if it happens again. Anglers planning to fish for kings need to have a 2011 king salmon stamp on their fishing license. The Environmental Protection Agency is fining a Haynes company for improper management of toxic material at a site that has since been cleaned up. The Chilkoot Lumber Company, which ceased operations in the early 1990s, and its current owner, Ed LaPerry, will pay $9,500 for what EPA calls improper storage and failure to repair leaking transformers that contained toxic polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs.
Altogether, we had 6 different counts.
Scott Downey is manager of the pesticide and PCB program at EPA. He works out of Seattle. He explains that the site was first under inspection in 1999, not long after LaPerry purchased the property, and more recently in 2007.
And found that the problems were still there. So then that really was, you know, when it became a very significant issue, when we asked someone to, you know, do a cleanup and document it and all that, and then it doesn't happen. We need to make sure that does happen. So we then started pursuing that a little more vigorously and ensured that first that it was cleaned up, and then we came back with an enforcement action just to, send a message that if you're contaminating property and releasing in PCBs in the environment, that there will be consequences.
The property is now considered clean by government lab standards, and the PCBs have been removed. Just ask Elijah Donay.
I'm the environmental engineer working with Chilkoot Environmental in Haynes, and I coordinated the cleanup of the project.
He says the cleanup that took place in 2008 cost millions. He thinks it's possibly the biggest privately funded environmental cleanup in the region.
After the facility closed, Ed was left with a significant liability to clean up the mess of many other companies, including companies of Pacific Gas and Electric and Weyerhaeuser and the Haynes Borough and the state of Alaska that were all invested in the facility, and he was left with the obligation to clean it up as the owner.
The former mill, located near the Haynes Ferry Terminal, housed a laboratory that ran daily water and air tests. It left behind reagents and chemicals, while boiler treatment chemicals, solvents, and paints still remained through the transfer of ownership. Cleanup involved heavy equipment and operators sent up from Oregon, soil and foundation removal, and proper containment and shipment of several large contaminated structures.
Yeah, it's hard to describe the level of concern that we found out there. Our goal right now, though, is to actually be able to close the site as a contaminated site this year in 2011.
The EPA took that cleanup work into account when they fined the company a relatively low, just under $10,000, for the remaining paperwork violations. But Downey adds that EPA expects property owners to take more responsibility.
If you're buying a piece of property, you have to do your due diligence to make sure that you're not buying an environmental mess, you know, and I don't think it was too hard to figure out that if you're, these are, like I said, these regulations have been in place for decades now, and if you're buying property that has old industrial equipment, especially electrical equipment like transformers and capacitors, you got to be aware of what the regulations are.
For the most part, use and manufacturing of PCBs was banned through the Federal Toxic Substances Control Act, also called TSCA. It's been in place since 1979 and does allow some use of PCBs, like in transformers found in several Haynes locations.
So as long as it's all enclosed and not leaking, then that's legal. But there's other things you have to take into account. So in this case, if a transformer is at over 500 parts per million, it has to be registered with EPA so we know where these are. And in this case, the Chilicoot Lumber Company did not register these transformers, so we didn't know that they were there until we found them conducting an inspection.
PCBs are very stable compounds and do not decompose readily. Research shows they're likely carcinogenic and have entered the environment through both use and disposal, despite the effective 30-year ban.
PCBs are pretty toxic chemicals, are very, very persistent in the environment, and that's why they were banned. They're also bioaccumulative, so PCBs that get into the environment can, you know, get in the food chain, and in the you know, smaller critters could eat the PCBs, and then bigger species could eat those, and so on up the food chain, so they could be concentrated at a pretty high level in species such as orcas and other animals that have a lot of fatty tissue.
A separate fish processing company owned by LaPerry, operating on the same property, received a different EPA violation under the Clean Water Act several years ago.
We all, you know, are trying to live in a place where we're not exposed to chemicals that are hazardous to our health, and, you know, we're trying to protect the people of Haynes and surrounding areas as we are, you know, trying to work with businesses to help them understand what the regulations are. So we do actually quite a bit of what we call compliance assistance. If people have questions, businesses have questions on how to comply with the PCB regulations, we're more than happy to explain those to them and help keep them out of trouble and from contaminating the environment.
EPA conducts routine inspections, focusing at times on particular industrial sectors. They also respond to public tips and complaints. More information is at epa.gov. A Haynes artist is in Wrangell to help restore an historic tribal house and share his talents with a new generation of artists. Master carver Wayne Price will help our southeast neighbors with a long-awaited project, which will be renovating Chief Shake's tribal house located in Wrangell. Adzine classes are already underway, and with Price's help, we'll leave behind Wrangell's next carvers. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has more from Wrangell.
With capital funding secured and grant money in motion, the Wrangell Cooperative Association is gearing up to begin the first stages of the Chief Shake's Tribal House renovation. This past week, architect Vlad Irmisu was in Wrangell to finalize timber cuts for the project and discuss the next stages of design with the WCA. WCA President John Martin says the next step is to begin training carvers for the adzine process.
This is a moment of excitement for us. We've had a series of them, and this is just another large step. But when we have carvers on the island, we have carvers in the shed, we have chips flying, then we know we're headed to the island, and that's exciting.
On August 5th, Master Carver Wayne Price from Haynes will begin preparing for the adzine classes and making sure they are prepped with all the necessary tools and materials. Along with Price, fellow Master Carver Steve Brown will be conducting the classes. Students will be taught on how to make traditional adzine tools, followed by step-by-step training on how to do traditional adzine work. Martin says the ultimate goal is to develop local carvers in Wrangell.
The ultimate goal is that we can find at least two committed apprentices to work with us on Shake's Island. And the situation will have two Master Carvers, two intermediate carvers, and two local apprentice carvers. And we want those carvers to be working right on site with them on a regular basis and be able to receive instruction.
Adzine classes will be held Friday, August 12th through Sunday, August 14th. Martin says classes will have 6 to 8 students and additional classes will be added if needed. Classes cost $25 per student and some scholarships are available. To register, visit the tribal office or call 874-4304. For KSTK, I'm Charlotte Duran.
Area schools don't start classes until later this month, but sports are already beginning for the Panthers and Glacier Bears. Cross country began last Monday for both teams, and Haynes volleyball begins this week. Team member Anna Jacobson has this.
After placing fourth in regionals last year, many, if not all, of the girls are returning to play for the 2011 season. Incoming freshmen are taking interest as well. The team will continue receiving coaching from Judy Erickson and Liana Scholl. The first game is away at Wrangell on the 2nd and 3rd of September, and Sitka will take on the Haynes Glacier Bears in the first home games of the season on the 9th and 10th of September. The season ends at regionals in Juneau on November 5th. Skagway Panthers began their cross-country practices last Monday as well and will start their volleyball season at the end of September.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.